Hey, it's Jeff, and welcome to episode 57 of Scale Your Charisma. Today, we're talking about the power of sales analytics. And with me is my good old buddy, Scott Miller. Scott, how are you doing today?
Good, how are you, Jeff?
I'm great. Now, are you surprised to be on a podcast called Scale Your Charisma?
Hey, I'll go for it, right? Never, can't say I've ever been on one like that, but I'm going to go for it.
Well, and the good news here is you are here on the inaugural pivot of this podcast. So we are renaming. Actually, folks, welcome to episode one of the Sales Quants podcast.
There we go. But, I'll take it. Sign me up.
Yeah, just a little behind the scenes baseball here, inside baseball. We're camping this podcast on 56 other episodes of a podcast previously known as Scale Your Charisma, because we're effectively dealing with all things content, technology, and data, and just how to leverage all of these assets that we have at our disposal and accelerate our growth and our careers for ourselves and our team. And can't help but get really excited about this topic around sales analytics for the newly named Sales Quants podcast. And I have my friend Scott on here because he happens to be, would you like the term guru, Scott?
We'll go with that. I've also gone with ninja as well.
Ooh, so I like ninja.
One of those. We can go with
ninja. Okay. So Scott is a sales analytics ninja for years and years. Why don't you just give a quick introduction of, tell us a little bit about yourself, Scott.
Sure. No, I appreciate that. So I was working at a healthcare technology company several years back, and I was working in a finance role supporting our sales function. So along the way in that position, I developed a very close relationship with our head of sales. And he leaned on me for several analytical exercises, activities, and it kind of went above and beyond my finance job. So to make a long story short, I ended up talking with him and selling them on the need to develop the sales reporting and analytics group that could really add value to their business. So while I was there, we built that group. I made the transition from finance into sales, supporting all of our regions, all of our product lines. We were a large publicly traded company, so I certainly was never starved for work, which is a good thing. And that was a good experience. And you know, being that at the end of the day, I was able to kind of hang my hat on sales analytics, being a sales analytics guy. That was my calling more so than healthcare technology was. So I saw a great opportunity to leverage this niche that I've built for myself and move on from this healthcare technology company to where I am currently in the financial services area, joined a company there, and applied the same discipline, sales analytics. It's really bringing that analytical edge to a sales-driven organization that's flying 100 miles an hour. They're not leveraging their data. So, you know, it's a matter of instilling discipline and leveraging the data, because at the end of the day, within sales analytics, right, from data comes information, from information comes insights. And from these insights, that's where you can make decisions to run your business optimally and make your strategic decisions. So without that data, you're not getting the information, you're not getting the insights. So at the end of the day, we're striving towards these insights into the business.
Wow, that's amazing, Scott. I mean, that's I love what you said, that analytical edge.
Yeah.
And what was it like when you transitioned out of a finance role with your edge and your deep finance background into the sales organization? Was it like trying to sell ice to Eskimos or, you know?
Quite. I would certainly say that was the case. Sales guys are great at selling, right? And I think as we talked last week, and I told you kind of one of the taglines I've used in discussions along the way with sales personnel is you sell and we analyze, right? So that's I'm not going to come in and tell them how to sell their products, right? That's not where I'm coming from. But at the end of the day, you know, it's some different personalities, you know, and you got to treat everyone differently and adapt to whoever you're talking to and kind of find their hot buttons and develop a solution for them. You know, what you're striving for in that role is to be an effective listener, right? Mm-hmm. Once they open up to you, start telling you some of their issues, their problems, that's when you know that you're able to really get in there and introduce a solution for them. And then the other point I wanted to make was when I was in my finance role, I was reporting on what are the numbers for the current quarter. We do the numbers of the current quarter, we move on to the next quarter. You finish mm-hmm. that quarter, you go on to the next quarter. And one angle that I took was that we were overlooking, one angle that I took was that, hey, you know what? We're reporting on current number quarters, fine, but within sales, we can learn so much from the past, looking mm-hmm. at the data from the past, and we can learn so much from looking ahead to the future, what's in the pipeline. So, that's one other angle that I introduced, was that idea of leveraging historical data as well as future data. And you're selling them on that, right? It's kind of interesting, you're selling salespeople on that, but at the end of the day, that's what you're doing, right? Because they're not data-driven people. And part of sales analytics is kind of transforming the culture to become more of a data-driven culture. And, being data-driven, yeah, you're looking at current quarter, current month, but you're, as I said, that historical data, that future data is even more important, because that's kind of really how you're going to get those insights into the business.
Right. And so that's what seems powerful, is you're in effect eliminating a lot of happy talk at times and just helping the organization predict the future with a degree of certainty.
You mentioned happy, right? I've been part of sales organizations where we talk about, quote unquote, happy forecasting, right? Mm-hmm. So, those are the deals that are in the forecast, and sales folks tell you, this deal's going to close, this deal's going to close this quarter, this month, and then you kind of dive into the data a little bit, deals in the forecast the last quarters, the last 6 months, why is it going to close now, right? And that's where you can kind of call out some bluffs, call out some deals that really don't have the legs that sales reps tell you that they do have. So, that's part of what we were doing is getting rid of this happy thing and instilling this culture of being a more data-driven forecasting model.
I see. No, that's good. We had, looks like we had a little disruption or disturbance in the force through our conversation. Yeah, yes. But, that's interesting. So, and we're going to really drill into this topic over the foreseeable future, the power of sales analytics, insights, action steps. I mean, but what are some of the tools of the trade? Like what, how do you go about your job every day, at a high level?
So, sales analytics, the day-to-day, right, and the challenge in the position, in the role itself, it's very stimulating. It's interesting because on the one hand, let's just say it's a 50-50 split. Let's say, half the job is creating regularly occurring analyses, right? Whether it's every month, every week, every quarter, whatever. It's the same recurring analysis. What I enjoy though more are these kind of these one-offs, right? These, hey, last month, you looked at this for us, can we also look at such and such, right? And that those ad hocs, those one-offs, where you're really diving into the data and you're educating folks in the sales organization on their business, right? And a lot of the times, it's tying together data from multiple systems, right? Mm-hmm. And that's something that, largely can be automated, largely is automated, but at the same time, it's always going to have a manual component to it to one degree or another. So this idea of leveraging data from multiple systems, we're doing that every day, And then also one thing we're doing, on a daily basis, right? I think I mentioned earlier, looking at that historical data, right? How are the sales tracking this quarter? Today's what, April 10th? Hey, 10 days into the month, how are we doing in terms of our sales this month being April? How are we at the 10th day of the month in March? How are we at the 10th day in February, et cetera? So, you look where you were at the 10th day, and then you can also look at what's in the remainder of the pipeline for the remaining 3 weeks or so of the month, you know, and then we can look by sales rep and or by client and or by product and look at historical conversion rates, and taking those conversion rates and applying them to what's in the pipeline for the remainder of the month, you know, and that's how we can come up with some predictive analytics, you know, and you know, sales analytics, it you hear it a lot now, right? It's a hot area. And, you know, I think there's a clear line in the sand between sales reporting and sales analytics, right? You know, people frequently use the terms interchangeably, and that's all well and good, and there is a huge overlap between the two, absolutely. You know, sales reporting, I see as largely, you know, taking the data out of a CRM, out of a system, whatever it is, and slicing, dicing, pretty charts, graphs, colors, graphics, you know, just using the one export, right? Yeah, sales analytics a lot of times takes it to the next level in the sense that, you know, you're looking at historical extracts and comparing the current extract to an extract from 2 months ago, from 6 months ago, whatever it might be. You know, also tying in this these multiple systems of data as well. You don't get that frequently with a lot of sales reporting. So, you know, it's kind of taking the sales reporting and doing what you can to kind of get it to the next level, because at the end of the day, right, you want to introduce insights into the business to sales managers, sales leaders, because ultimately that's who we're supporting. So,
right.
You know, we want to, you know, we don't just want to, you know, a lot of times we can give these sales leaders information from CRMs, what have you. And a lot of times the answer you're going to get is, oh yeah, I had, that's what I thought, or that's not surprising, you know? So what you really, you know, where you could really establish value for yourself is, you know, introducing these insights that they were not aware of. Right. So, you know, essentially that's what you're going to get paid for. That's how you're going to make money, is not just slicing and dicing the data, but rather kind of helping them run their business by giving them those aha moments, you know, whether it's related to a product, a person, or a region, whatever it might be, but it's kind of just opening their eyes to their business through the data. So frequently I'll say that I'm translating the data to the sales leadership and kind of letting them know what they need to know to run their business.
Right, right. Well, in fact, we had an aha moment last week because you were drawing, you know, we were scribbling on the, yes, on the placemat. And one of the favorite charts is looking at pipeline versus, you know, closed won opportunity, right? And
yep, just, yep.
Wait, is that one of your favorite insights? Is that, it seems so obvious, but it's so powerful when you see it, right?
Yeah, you know, and that resonates very well with sales leaders because, you know, your observation initially was, you know, that's great. And it's very simple, right? You know, a lot of times, in this type of an analytics work, you have a tendency to get overcomplicated to the point where you sit down and talk about it with someone and it's just way over the head because you've made it too complicated. But, you know, what you were just talking about there, right? You know, when you look at a sales rep, we can talk about their quote unquote, their productivity, how productive are they, right? And 9 out of 10 times when you ask a leader, a manager, you know, how productive, you know, Jim Smith is or Susie Jones, right? They're productive based on how much business they've closed, period, right? That's always the first point of reference. Rightfully so, arguably, because, you know, that's you're a salesperson and you need to make sales, right? You know, but that particular exercise we looked at, right, kind of opens some eyes to quote-unquote productivity because, you know, if you're a sales rep, you know, and Jeff Herman, you have just a killer quarter where you just, you know, you just sold 3 times what your quota was for the quarter. You know, you're the king, you're the man, right? So that's great, obviously. Let's say me, Scott Miller, I didn't sell much. I didn't hit my number, and I just didn't, you know, hit what the expectation was. Can we say that I, you know, I'm on the watch list, that I wasn't up to par? You know what? I could tell you, though, that I might have been very productive if I created pipeline, you know, if I created several million dollars of pipeline, whereas everyone else in my area, everyone else on my team, you know, might have only created a little bit of pipeline. So, you know, that model that we looked at looks at sales reps productivity being defined as how much business you've closed, as well as how much business you've created, how much pipeline you've created, and it maps everyone graphically, essentially relative to one another. So, you know, it's how are you, Jeff Herman, how are me, Scott Miller, you know, how did we perform relative to our peers in a certain time period? And I've done that analysis for, I can't tell you how many leaders in sales, and they've, you know, knock on wood, but every time it sure seems to, you know, be very well received, and people always enjoy that. So that's kind of one of the tricks that really, you know, everyone can identify with, that everyone really sees the value in that. And it definitely opens people's eyes, because, you know, it leads to those aha moments, because, you know, people focus all the time on how much you've closed or just how much you've created, but seeing them in relation to one another, and then seeing all the sales reps against one another, really kind of lays out the landscape effectively for managers as they're overseeing their business, and they're not only performing for the current quarter, current month, but they also need to look ahead to the next month, the next quarter, right? So, you know, you got to nail it this quarter, you got to nail the next quarter, right? So that type of analysis really gives them the visibility to how well they're set up, you know, moving forward for the near future.
Right, right. That's amazing. And in fact, it's such a simple insight, but it is so powerful. For our great listeners out there, if you contact us, we'll actually send you a visualization of this simple but powerful charts Scott is talking about. And so yeah, just visit salesquants.com, salesquants.com, and fill out the contact us form. We'll get your name and we'll send it off to you. So we'd love to hear from you. So Scott, that being said, I mean, we can go on for hours about this. Clearly you're passionate about the topic. I'm passionate about the topic. We have a lot of other opportunities to discuss where we see technology going and the role of technology in sales analytics. You know, this going down this path of people and process, and just really what are this notion of how do we translate and really ground everyone in reality. I love what you've said about that. It's like you're just tying it down, right? So salespeople say lots of things. We're very creative and dynamic people. It's like, no, I can tell this is the truth because this is what the data say, and with a high degree of confidence, we're tying it down, right?
Yeah. Salespeople sell products and they also sell numbers internally, right? So they're selling, and you know, in this role, sales analytics, you know, we're speaking based on the data, right? You know, right. I mean, we're kind of calling people out to be accountable to what the data is in the system. So, you know, if you're telling me you're going to sell a $2 million deal and it's in the system for $200,000, hey, you know, I'm going to call you out on that. You know, if it's really 2 million, you got to update that in the system, right? So the people, process, technology, everything's linked together to run the business.
Great. Well, Scott, thanks for joining us. We're going to chat here on the podcast several times a month. And so we'll get the next episode geared up. But everyone, I want to thank you for joining us here on the Sales Quants podcast, where we really focus on the power of content, technology, and data in driving your business forward. And please, if you like the podcast, go over to iTunes and leave a rating and review. Let us know that that you listen. We'd really appreciate it. And hit the website, salesquants.com, and leave us a little note. Hit that contact us button and leave us a little note and let us know what you think. And also let us know if you're interested in seeing that visualization that Scott was talking about around sales productivity, looking at creation versus closed one deals. So sound good?
Cool.
All right.
Thank you, Jeff.
Scott, thanks for your time tonight, and we will talk to you again soon.
Outstanding. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. Because I'm an animal. I'm on my belly full. I will not go to my grave with this inside of me. Well, I'm an animal, and I can feel the pull. It's time to open my cage.